introduce me, so welcome to all the guests and all the people that have come today. It's been a real pleasure because it's not easy holiday time. People got things to do, places to go, but yeah. And the title of the message today is Our Faithful Calling. God is calling us to faithfulness. And we look at Hebrews 11 verse 1, and the scripture says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So hope, if I just phrase it, is our confidence in God's faithfulness. So isn't that great that we can put our confidence in God's faithfulness that he will come through no matter what? And we got a, you know, an example with Courtney. You know, if you see the car, what it looked like. And I mean, there was no inside in the car, no seats, nothing. And she had to be chopped off from there. It was just, please, Lord. And today we have, you know, good news. Amen. So I'll go to another scripture, which is Mark chapter 10, verse 31, and it says, the first will be last, and the last will be first. So we're running a race, and we all want to win this race, but if you start off with a sprint, high speed, it's not going to last long because you're going to get tired. This is a marathon, it's not a sprint. So, and if you're too slow, lagging at the back, you're not going to be able to catch up. So we just got to have nice, steady pace. Just make sure that we're not going too fast or too slow, but we're putting our trust and our faith and hope in the Lord that we are able to get to the end and get a prize. So that brings me to another question, which is it the end of the beginning of creation, or is it the beginning of the end, the last days? Because when we look around the world today, there's wars, rumors of wars. There's sickness, starvation, hunger. It's all around us. So what do we say? Is it the beginning of the end, or is it the end of the beginning? And we put our faith in the living God that, yes, these things are going on. Rumors of wars. But we're not going to let that get us down and say, wow, what's going to become of us? Now we've got hope that we're going to meet with our Maker. We've got to be prepared. That word, be prepared, you'll hear quite a bit today. Be prepared. And so that's just the introduction. So let's go to my scripture, please, B, which is Matthew 22. It's an invitation to a wedding feast. So is anybody getting ready for a big feast very soon? Christmas. We're looking forward to that Christmas dinner, that feast. So this is a king. And we know the king is Father God himself. And he's arranged a wedding, a marriage for his son. So what he's done is he sent out the servants to invite those that have been invited and to come over. But they said no. One said, I'm busy on my farm. The other said, I'm busy with my business. Isn't that what's going on today? Everybody's too busy. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to come into relationship with him, into fellowship, but we're busy. And so, you know, when you invite people and they don't come, it's disappointing, man. You know? It's like, I prepared all this. So God loves us. So what he's done is, when they came back to tell him they didn't want to come, he said, I'll send other servants. Maybe they listen to these. So they sent more servants. And we know the servants are the prophets, the pastors, the ministers from the beginning of time until now. And they're preaching the word of God. The word of God is all over. But the people are too busy. We've got a lot going on in our lives. But we need to open the door to the Lord. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anybody opens, I will come in and dine with him." Especially over this Christmas time. There'll be a lot of dining and that going on. So let us not forget Jesus. And then he sent more servants. But this time, they seized the servants, treated them spitefully. And after that, they killed some of the servants. We know the prophets and these have been persecuted for a long time. So they went back to the king and said, "Well, this is what has happened. They've killed some of them." So the king was very upset. So he sent his armies. And we know what happened. He destroyed those murderers. And when we look at Matthew, in the last days, they asked him, "Lord, what will take place in the last days?" He said, "Look, it'll be just like the days of Noah. People will be marrying. They'll be carrying on with work. They'll have businesses. They will still continue normal. But they just did not accept Jesus." And that's when, well, they didn't want to have a relationship with Father God. And that's when the floods came, during the days of Noah. But God still kept a remnant. God always wants to be in relationship with us. And we know Noah and his family were saved. And then the same thing happened in Sodom. The people in Sodom refused to listen to the Lord. And so Abraham was pleading with the Lord. He said, "Please, Lord, if there be 50 faithful and righteous in Sodom, will you save it?" And the Lord said, "Yes, if there be 50. But we find there was not 50. 50, in the whole of Sodom. So the number went down to 45, if there be 45. Until we came to 5. And there were still not 5. It was just Lot, the two daughters, and the angels. Because the wife, as we know, was on her way, but you see, the Lord don't want us to go back to the past and say, "Oh, I remember what happened there," and pick up that old baggage. Let's move on. He's calling us forward to faithfulness, to relationship with him. So just look forward. And we know that only Lot and his two daughters had made it out of there. So the Lord is saying to us at this time, come into relationship. Thanks, I got some. Thank you. Come into relationship with me. And they didn't want to. So after that, fire came down. And we know the story, what happened to Sodom. And so the servants went back. And the king said, "Listen, this time I want you to go out, but go to the highways and the byways and bring to me all those that are lame, deaf, blind, sick." You see, the people that refused to come at first were the chosen people, the Israelites, the Jewish people. That's who God chose in the beginning to follow and worship him. But they refused. So he's given a second chance to us, the Christians, the Gentile, to receive him and to come into relationship with him. These are the ones that they went to fetch in the highway and byway. And so we are so grateful that this door has been opened to us, that we could have fellowship with the Lord. And so they all came in, and they were sitting in the hall, the wedding hall, and the king came in to have a look at the guests. As he comes down all the way towards the front, he found one guy without the proper attire. So which means you can't just go from primary school, or you didn't even go to primary school, from creche to high school. You have to go prepare yourself for what lays ahead. And this guy got in somehow, so which means he was invited to the wedding. But he thought, I'll just go as I am from wherever he came. He could have at least washed his clothes, ironed or whatever he had to make it look good enough, and just give his shoes a little wipe. No, he's sitting in there without the proper attire. So we want to go to heaven. We want to be in relationship with the Lord. We can't just, okay, we live our life any old how, and when we close our eyes one day, open them in heaven, and oh, Father God, I'm here to worship you. We got to go through, prepare ourselves. And that's when he found somebody that was not dressed. So let's try and put on the right attire, brother and sister. Let's prepare ourselves. So we're going over to the next point, which is, can I get my scripture, please, Bianca? Is it Proverbs? Yes. So there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. So which means the Lord's plans for us are different. Yep, we want things to happen our way. We got a lot of plans, but the Lord's counsel, that's what will stand. And then I've got another question. So if we just go back in time, I mean, to when, let's just say, we got a lot of youth, yeah, but maybe they're still in school. This is for us that's finished with school a long time ago. So let's say we're in year 12, and then they come around and they do a census and they say, okay, what would you like to become? What career would you love? So you could be very successful, very famous, very rich. And you've got from the president, actor, entrepreneur, you've got professional athlete in sports, and then you've got the teachers, the trainers, the coaches to get you to that point. Now you're the successful, rich, well-known, famous actor or whatever. Are you going to be, I'm content, this is where I wanted to be, this is my goal? Are you going to say, there's always more? I want to be in another firm, or I want to win another trophy. You see, this is how we are as human beings. But God wants us just to be prepared for what has been given to us, so that we could be an example either to our children or to our peers, whoever's coming behind us. That's what God wants us to do. And I had a look on Google last week. They had all the examinations. And you know, I don't know if you know the ATAR examination, Andrew, in Melbourne. And a young boy passed 99.95%, which is the first time in history. So he was inspired by somebody else. Somebody prepared the way for him. And so he'll be there, but guaranteed somebody's going to pass that again. Because that's what's happening. You've got all the greats, and then the records are getting shattered and broken. So why do we have to break our heads and say, now I still need to get another million? We can't take that million with us to heaven. But we can prepare to meet our Lord and Savior and be thankful with what we got and leave a legacy, because God's plans are not ours. I've got a little testimony. So it was back in South Africa, excuse me. I was working for a little company, and I'm a welder, so they would send me over the border to Swaziland to help another company. And it was a Dutch guy, his name was Gus. He had his workers, and whenever I went over, we'd do a job. So I'd been about three times over there. And then I went the next time, and then got there. It was early in the morning. So we parked the cars on the road, and he said, okay, let's go to the back to my workshop. So we walked past a big factory, came to the back. This is his workshop. They're into fitting and turning and a lot of fitting work. So he says, look, These are all the workers. There's all the machinery. He says, that's my factory from the front of the road. And this was a huge factory that we passed to get to the back where his workshop is. He said, I'm actually going to go into like chalets, guest housing, holiday houses in Mozambique, which is just over the border. He said, I'm looking for somebody to take over this company. He said, why don't you take over this company? And I was shocked. I was stumped. I couldn't believe it. Like, nah, man, I can't. This big company like this. And from there, he said, all you have to do is go back, refinance your house, come back, pay, and take over the name. But I was shocked, and I thought, nah, it's too big for me. But you see, God's plans are different. You see, maybe I wouldn't have been here today. I would have been in Swaziland, a businessman or somewhere else. But God didn't want it that way, so he knew why. So that's why I say, you know, we got to be content. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given me, and let's move on. And somebody else will come over, and they will continue from in that area. So that brings me to another point, that we are ambassadors. Because if you are an ambassador, he's not just a normal person. You got an ambassador's a very high-profile diplomat. So he's an MP, member of parliament, but not just a normal member. He's a very high profile. So number one, he's a strong leader. He knows how to lead by example. He's been well trained in different disciplines. So he's able to handle that leadership role. And number two, he's a good manager. He manages everything, organizes everything, and time is very important as an ambassador. So number three, he's a resilient negotiator. He knows how to talk to the high-profile people, not stepping down. So we as ambassadors that are from the kingdom of the Lord because we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we got to also be able to step up, know the word of God, be in fellowship with other believers so that we get the faith built up into us. So that when we come against some attack of the enemy, we're not going to be just, oh, what do you do in this situation? We're asking somebody else. But you've been given the power to stand up against any violent attack of the enemy, against your family, because you are ambassador of the Most High God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So God's plan for us is that we grow stronger in this relationship. I mean, Pastor Stephen was saying, a young man, when he pursued a young lady back in the day, he'd go all out because this is what he wants. But don't only look at it one way. We've got to look at the other way too. The lady will also, but just she will not show it. The guy has to pick up on it. If you don't pick up, well, too late, my brother. You missed out. You better read the signs, otherwise you'll drive off the road, man. See where you're going. And that's exactly what we need to do with the Lord. We need to be in relationship with him. We need to pursue him, spend time with him, and learn what he wants from us. That's how we're going to grow. And we look at a strong ambassador by the name of Stephen in the Bible. And we look in the book of Acts that Stephen was so full of the Holy Spirit. He was one of the extra disciples that were chosen to help out when the church first started. And they were spreading the word, so they needed people to help the tables because the others were preaching. And Stephen, the leaders of the day and the learned men could not contend with him. Because when they tried to point fingers at him, he just knew the word back to front. So they said, nah, man, we can't get hold of Stephen. What we're going to do, they got some false accusers to say, come here and just say, you've heard Stephen say, he's trying to change everybody from Judaism to a new way, the way of Christianity. And those years, it was very traditional. So for that, he's been found guilty and he's to be stoned to death. And they've taken Stephen out back somewhere and they're stoning Stephen. But there's somebody there that's watching. And that is a guy by the name of Saul who was persecuting the church, persecuting Christians because in his mind he said, we can't let them go to this other way. They got to follow Judaism. And when they're stoning Stephen, Stephen went down on his knees and he said, forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. And he looked up into heaven and he sees, we know Jesus Christ. We know. Rose on the third day. And he went and sat down on the right hand. But when Stephen looked up into heaven, because the heavens open, he seen Jesus standing and applauding Stephen for giving his life and also saying, forgive them. Who can do such a thing? Being stoned, but he had that joy knowing that I'm going to be with the Lord. I've run my race. But he was preparing the way for Saul, that never saw such faith before in his life, that he was touched. And we know what happened to Saul, who became Paul, who wrote one third of the Bible, because God used him mightily. That he saw, man, this is unbelievable. A man could actually give his life. And this is what we've learned. We are preparing the way for others to follow, so they too could know Jesus Christ. Not, I want to be the one. And everything is, I want to. No. Look to others and rather let them. What did John the Baptist say? That I should decrease. That the Lord Jesus should increase. Even though he was doing great miracles. But he knew, nah, this is the one. And I remember I was still a young boy. So faith, we break the word up, faith into following. So what happened was, we had a teacher living with us back in South Africa. I was only about 12 years old. And she came from the South Coast, which is about 200 k's away from us on the North Coast. So she took me home for a holiday, only 12 years. So get there, and she's got other brothers and sisters, and had a good holiday. By the end of the holiday, there's no Ubers and there's no cell phones. We got to carry our bags. It's a long way. So we left the house, said goodbye. We're on the way down about 500 meters, and we look back and say, hey, but something looks like somebody's following us. So we went a little bit further, and yep, somebody's following. So it's her little sister following. So you had to go all the way back to say to her, no, one day when you grow up, you can also come with us. Now you're still young, you've got to stay at home. But we cannot follow the Lord Jesus Christ from a far distance, just whenever we get a chance. We've got to be close behind him as believers. And wherever he turns, we are following. Because we're putting our faith, our hope, our trust in him. Especially as we're coming to this time of the year. There's a lot of things going on around us. Distracting stuff too. But we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. So faith, and then I've got following always. Not sometimes or whenever. Always. And then in. Not out. In truth. Or in trust. In truth and hope. That's the way we need to follow. Because You know, the enemy is subtle. And for us to read a scripture and memorize it and remember it, it's quite a bit. And sometimes you're not guaranteed, you walk outside, you forgot it. But the enemy, you can have a look at a picture that was not very tasteful, a little bit, you know, out of character. And that bad picture that you saw gets stuck in your mind. It's like a stain. And it can come up at any time. Because that's what he wants us to look at and remember. But Jesus wants us to remember his love, his faithfulness, his mercy. That's what he's done for us. So we got to fight to remember those things. We got to fight to be his children. So, yeah. I'll get the band to come up. I'll go to my last scripture there, P. And this is Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. And Jesus himself is talking about John the Baptist. And he says, "Assuredly I say to you, among those," so that's everyone, "born of woman, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So who is that? Who's Jesus talking about? It's us. We have this opportunity to receive Jesus into our lives and to be found in the kingdom of heaven. So we who are least in the kingdom are greater than John. After John is the one that was in the wilderness leading all the people to the Lord. So, my brother and sister, he continues on there, please be. The scripture. Anyway, he says, "The kingdom of God suffers violence. And the violent take it by force." So, you know, Christians are being persecuted throughout the world. Whenever you look around, there's divorce, there's accident rate, starvation, suffering. The enemy is wreaking havoc. So we as Christians, if we want to be to stand up and be vigilant, we can't be passive and soft and, "Oh, I'll pray for you." We got to stand up and say, "I'm going to pray for you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is able to heal you." Because the enemy is waiting for us. And we remember the story of the seven brothers that tried to cast out a demon, but they were not in the will of the Lord. So the demon said, "Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, but who are you?" And they came out of the man and they beat him up. Let that not happen to us. We are children of the Most High God. Let us stand vigilant and be able, especially at this time, to say, "I am a faithful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ." And that is our faithful calling.